Hi, Marty Lurie here in KMBR 680 with Ellis Burks and in Scottsdale. And what a surprise. Nice to see you here.
Thank you. Good to see you as well.
Yeah. So what brings you back to the Giants organization? What will you be doing?
For the length of spring training, I'm in as a guest coach. And it's going to be determined after that exactly what my role is going to be.
You're a powerful hitter. And in the game today, you know, you see all the walks, all the strikeouts, and people trying to hit home runs. Heck, you were a guy who hit the ball all over the place and still hit it out. 392 bases one season for you. What do you see in hitters today?
Well, I'd see a lot of promise in a lot of these hitters. I mean, great hand-eye coordination, a lot of young, talented players out there. And I think in order to be an all-around player, you just have to harness that complete game. And each one of these guys, they have it. And I think it's just has to be brought out a little bit more.
Ellis, do you see the hitters changing from your day? I mean, your debut at the Kingdome way back then. Scott Bankhead, I think, was the pitcher back then. And, of course, you go to have a great career. Do you see differences, though, in the game and the hitters?
Well, I think, you know, back then the pitching was more finesse.
Okay.
You know, they pretty much can command the pitches wherever they want it. Nowadays, it's more of a power game.
Okay.
And I think, you know, there has to be a balance in between that in order to be successful all the way around. You take a guy like Madison Bumgarner who can do both. You know, he has the power and the finesse, and you've seen the success that he's had over the years.
So what does a hitter have to do, you know, with all the shifts? Did they ever shift on you?
No, never shifted on me because I was that type of player that could hit the ball every part of the ballpark. And I think if you get away from hitting the ball at all fields, that's when you're going to have a tendency of getting shifted on because your tendency is to pull the ball. Of course, they're going to shift to that favorite area. But I think if a hitter and there's a lot of hitters that can go the opposite way, but they choose not to. If they can get back to that, it's going to make the game a lot easier for them as well.
Yeah. No, I agree with you because you see the shift all the time. You say, gee, why don't they just go the other way? But hitters are not bred to do that.
Yeah. I think it comes up in the development of that particular player. And I think if you work and emphasize on hitting the ball the other way, it's going to be more success for them.
When you first, Ellis Burks is with us. Nice to see you out here. It's always great to see you. Coming up with the Red Sox, even leadoff hitters were different in those days. Today, leadoff hitters expected to do a lot more power-wise.
Well, you know, in my day as a leadoff hitter, they put me there, and I wasn't very familiar with that role because I've never been one of those guys to get on base, you know, and as far as work account, you know, I was a free swinger, see the ball, hit the ball, that type of guy. But, you know, I had success with it. And with that being said, it was something new for Boston to have a guy that could lead off and steal bases and do all the other things. And today's game, you have a lot of players with that capability, and it's just a matter of finding that right guy for that particular role. And here in San Francisco, you know, you have a guy like Denard Span who can hit the ball at all fields, you know, get on base, great on base percentage, and, you know, he's your typical leadoff guy.
Yeah. So video, again, it's good to catch up with you. You know, you didn't play that long ago, but it seems like a while ago. Video in your day, video versus today?
Video today is a lot more prevalent than back when I played. But to be honest with you, we did have video and we used it quite a bit. I think Tony Gwynn was the first guy to really use video and I learned a lot from him. And he was one of those guys that really locked in on what that pitcher was trying to do to him that particular day. Everyone is different, of course, and he was just one of those guys that worked constantly in the video room, seeing what he needed to do to make a difference, to make that change, and it all showed every day when he was on the field.
Well, he beat you in the batting title just a bit, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Big year.
Yeah. That was you know, that was one of those years where everything went right. You know, I saw the pitch out of the pitcher's hands, tracked the ball all the way to my bat. It was just one of those years that everything fell in the right place. And for me to be even close to a batting title and still close to a home run title was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, you look back, I think it was 96 in Colorado. And those were the Blake Street Bombers, though. You guys didn't mess around. Bichette and Galarraga and the rest of you. How about that team? Come on.
Very potent lineup we had. You know, we had Eric Young leading off. I was batting second with 40 homers. Larry Walker, third. Dante Bichette, well, Galarraga, fourth. Dante Bichette, fifth. Vinny Castillo, sixth. I mean, you're looking at 35, 40 homers from the top of the lineup all the way down. Yeah.
Colorado, we always look there and say, gee, why don't they win? They can't win. Is it the pitching? What is it? You played there.
Yeah, played there for 5 years, and, you know, they're pretty much stacking the lineup with hitters that can, you know, drive the ball, you know, score a lot of runs, and that's usually what's the success. But if you can happen to get pitchers to come to Colorado free agent-wise, yeah, that's going to be tough. That's the tough part, to get a pitcher to say, okay, I'm going to go from a 2.6 ERA and then to go to a 3.6 to a 4. You know, that's kind of hard to convince a guy to go. I don't care how much money you offer. So the most important thing for Colorado is to develop those guys within their system with the drafts and everything else, so, and trades, of course. But, and I think they're on the right track of doing that. They've gotten some great arms in the past few years, and I think they're developing those guys quite well and very successful so far.
All right, Ellis Burks with us. Early in your career, you got to the playoffs a couple of times, but you ran into that Oakland A's team.
Yeah, that was 88 and 90. We ran into, you know, the Bass brothers and, of course, Dave Stewart and Bob Welch and all those guys, you know, great teams. You know, of course, there were some great head-to-head matchups that we had against them. But, you know, at the end of the day, they came out on top and went to the World Series.
Yeah, how about Clemens versus Stu?
Always a great matchup, but Stu always came out on top. You know, I think it was just a matter of some intimidation factor there, and Clem tried to do a bit much at times and tried to, you know, carry the whole load himself. Yeah. And with that being said, you know, we never did win against those guys. But let me tell you, those were some great matchups. Yeah.
Well, I can remember them. Well, you do come over to the Giants. It's a big trade, and you come over here. What were you thinking about? Did you know possibly the Giants would be part of your future?
I didn't know which particular team I was going to get traded to, but I knew that there was going to be a possible deal being made because I was one of those 10-5 guys, and I knew it was going to be either me or Dante Bichette being traded. I was the one that got traded, and, of course, it came to a great organization, and I was very happy that I got traded to the Giants. It gave me an opportunity to win, in which we did, and it was a lot of fun. Got to meet some great players on the team, a great organization, great ownership. So it was a win-win for me, and you know, and even to be able to come back now as a coach, it's a plus.
Yeah, well, it's great to see you in a Giant uniform. You know, people think you maybe as the Rockies, but the Giants, you made a good mark with the Giants. Of course, you were with the White Sox too at some point, but you got to play at Candlestick.
I did, and let me tell you the difference in Candlestick and anywhere else. As a visiting player coming in, you dreaded coming in for those 3 days simply because of the wind, the cold, and then if you had a day game playing right field, the sun is right there on you. It was tough. You know, you really had to learn the swirling winds and how to play certain balls and how to play certain areas in the outfield. But once I came over in the trade, you know, being able to practice, you know, before the games and see exactly the flight of the ball, where it was going to carry, where it was going to, you know, not carry in that situation, you know, really helped me out a lot. So I learned to appreciate it more. And, of course, I learned to wear more clothes.
And grease down or something underneath. Did you get to see Willie Mays a lot?
I did. I see Willie every time we get a chance to come in and he's in there. And, you know, he and I talk for an extended time every time I see him. And it's always a pleasure to see a legend of the game like that. And just to kind of, you know, pick his brain a little bit and see exactly what he's thinking. What do you think about this situation? He gave me some great advice when I first came over in the trade. He told me, because the first week I was kind of struggling. And he told me, he says, hey, kid, we got you over here for a reason. And the reason was, we know you could play. And it was just one of those things where I just had to relax a little more. And he helped me do that by talking to me about that and mentioning it to me.
Yeah. Well, great to have you on. It's a pleasure to run into you again. And, well, you're in the playoffs a lot, but you couldn't get a win as a team, you know, five or six times in the playoffs. And that shows how rare it is to be able to win this thing three times or something like that.
You know, anytime you can get to a World Series, it's a blessing. It's something that every player, you know, that's their main goal when they go to spring training, to extend that to the, you know, October and play into October and win a World Series. And for the Giants to be able to do that, you know, in 12, 14, and 16, that was unbelievable. I mean, what was the years it was?
10, 12, and 14,
exactly.
Every even year.
And it was awesome. It was just something that, you know, you get in a winning ways and you get that winning tradition, people would love to come here and play. And that's exactly what's going on here now. And of course, with the pitching that you have, you win with pitching, you know, and you build around pitching. And with the starting five that they have now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and people like to come here and coach.
Oh, yeah, I love it. That is true.
Well, you started in Fenway as a young man. That right field, the left field wall must have looked pretty good to you, being a good right-handed hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I was always, early in my career, I was a pull hitter, okay? And I wanted to change that because I saw a lot of guys in the minor leagues being able to shoot the ball the other way. And they would say, well, no, we don't want you to change at all. This is going to be your thing hit Fenway Park. But once I got to Boston and I worked with Walt Reniac, the hitting coach there, I learned to hit the ball the other way, because once I was pretty dominant pulling, they started pitching me away. So I definitely had to make that adjustment, which I did, and I learned to hit the ball the other way, and I had some success with it.
Boy, you sure did. Great to have you on. A pleasure. We're going to catch up more over the spring.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about growing up in Vicksburg and what baseball was like there, but it's nice to have you out here. You look like you're ready to play.
I'm having fun, and you know, I try to stay in shape as much as I can. You know, I think when you're dealing with a lot of youngsters and young kids coming up, they tend to look at you. They look at your stats. They want to know exactly what you did. Who is this guy? You know, who's this new coach coming in? And if you can have, you know, any kind of way of, you know, impressing them, that's an advantage on your part.
You ever get in the cage? I'll tell you why. I mean, Ted Williams used to get in the cage. Eddie Matthews used to get in the cage. You ever get in the cage and hit here?
I hit a lot at home with my son. Now, I'm going to tell you a little funny story. I just did a Boston Red Sox fantasy camp, and at the end of the fantasy camp, you have to play the guys. So I go out there and play, and, you know, I didn't hurt anything or nothing like that, but I was sore for 4 days afterwards. So I definitely have to get back in shape for playing.
All right. Thanks for taking the time. We'll catch up with you.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Very good. That's great. Ellis Burks. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.